Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show today. Appreciate you tuning in. My name is Bruce Dickey. As Len and I mentioned to you a little bit ago, we're going to kind of throwing out the normal show today. Going to play the Pearl Harbor speech from President Franklin Roosevelt on this, the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor, back in 1941. Kind of a history lesson today. Maybe a lot of folks don't even realize some of the facts about that. Of course, the attack lasted 110 minutes, almost 2 hours. It was over at 9:45. It started at 7:55 a.m. local time there on that Sunday morning in 1941. A total of 2,335 U.S. servicemen were killed, 1,143 wounded, and 68 civilians were also killed in the attack. So the Japanese mainly hitting the harbor where the ships were. Japanese lost 65. So that is a whale of a difference there. That's for sure. Plans for the surprise attack against the United States were begun as early as January of 1941. As the course that gave them 10 months to work on the plan. The Japanese attack force was approximately 230 miles north of Oahu, and they launched their airplanes in two waves, 45 minutes apart. The first wave, like I said, struck at 7:55. Second wave reached at 8:40. And when Japanese commander Mitsuo Fushida called out, "Tora, Tora, Tora," upon flying over Pearl Harbor, it was the message to the entire Japanese Navy to tell them they had caught the Americans totally by surprise. Well, of course, in Washington, D.C., the word reached them right as the ambassadors were meeting with the U.S. Secretary of State. And President Roosevelt, I don't think he took a pretty dim view of the Japanese ambassadors, and that's maybe the largest understatement of the year. But FDR went to Congress the next day to ask for a declaration of war. We'll hear his speech, and I'll come back and mention a couple of things about it when we return. But this is President Franklin Roosevelt asking for the declaration of war in Congress on December 8th, 1941, 75 years ago tomorrow. The attack was 75 years ago today.
Senators and representatives, I have the distinguished honor of presenting the President of the United States.
Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at solicitation of Japan, still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Indeed, 1 hour after Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador to the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. And while this reply stated that it seemed useless to continue the existing diplomatic negotiations, It contained no threat or hint of war or of armed attack. It will be recorded that the distance of Hawaii from Japan makes it obvious that the attack was deliberately planned many days or even weeks ago. During the intervening time, the Japanese government has deliberately sought to deceive the United States by false statements and expressions of hope for continued peace. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. Yesterday, the Japanese government also launched an attack against Malaya. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Hong Kong. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Guam. Last night, Japanese forces attacked the Philippine Islands. Last night, the Japanese attacked Wake Island. And this morning, the Japanese attacked Midway Island. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed their opinions and well understand the implications to the very life and safety of our nation. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense, but always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. I believe that I interpret the will of the Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the uttermost, but will make it very certain that this form of treachery shall never again endanger us. Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire. Congress, with overwhelming acclaim, then voted the declaration of a state of war, and the president signed it 3 hours after this historic scene.
That's just an amazing story. I tell you what, it of course, the whole thing. 75 years ago today, again, the attack on Pearl Harbor, and that was the entire request for the declaration of war by FDR, the Day of Infamy speech, of course. Of course, he uses the term Day of Infamy early in the speech, but that's the kind of speech. You hear that, it gives you goosebumps for how good orators can be. Whether you like or don't like FDR's policies from 80 years ago, personally, I'm not a big fan of most of his policies, but you couldn't have asked for a more... For a better wartime president, probably than Franklin Roosevelt, to get through that incredibly dark period of American history. And that's what folks may, it's 75 years ago. What percentage of people are alive right now that were alive 75 years ago? Maybe 10%. I'm not sure the number. I'll look it up, demographics. But I do appreciate you folks being patient and listening to that speech there. I'm going to play some songs. The rest of the Bruce Dickey Show today, we're going to dedicate it to U.S. soldiers, or to American soldiers and soldiers from all over the world. We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show after these.
The Osgood File.
Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. As I said, no guest today, but kind of doing a little commemoration of December 7th, 1941, 75 years ago. Today, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Just trying to remember, making sure that the folks never forget the sacrifices made by many, many people in the United States and throughout the world. In that awful war, just making sure that people don't forget. And let's remember some of the music. Let's play one song anyway from that time frame. We don't usually play too much from the 40s here on the WFIW AM and FM in Fairfield, but Sometimes it's fun, too. Let's see what we got from Glenn Miller.
With my wife. they should never have taken the very best. The night they drove old Dixie down, and the bells were ringing. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the people were singing.
Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. I'm playing talking about the attack on Pearl Harbor and kind of trying to play songs about soldiers and war. And that last one, you may or may not realize, is about the Civil War. The song wasn't written until over 100 years later by the band. Robbie Robertson and Levon Helm wrote it, and then it was successfully covered by Joan Baez. She took it, I think, in the top 10 in 1971. But that is one of the best songs of all time. And actually, the review in Rolling Stone in October of 1969 explains why the song has such an impact on listeners. From Ralph J. Gleason: "Nothing I have read has brought home the overwhelming human sense of history that this song does. The only thing I can relate it to at all is the red badge of courage. It's a remarkable song. The rhythmic structure, the voice of Levon, and the bass line with the drum accents and the heavy dose of harmony, close harmony of Rick Danko and Levon Helm make it impossible that this isn't some traditional material handed down from father and son from the winter of 1865 to today. It has that ring of truth and the whole aura of authenticity. Speaking of the whole aura of authenticity, I'm going to skip 140 years into the future from that one to September of 2001. A lot of popular culture was affected on September 11th. And somebody from that area wrote what I can consider one of the wonderful songs, mainly saluting the warriors on September 11th, 2001, mainly the firefighters and the police officers that went into the buildings. This is Bruce Springsteen, "The Rising."
Can't see nothing in front of me. Can't see nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this darkness. I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. How far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On the shoulder, half mile of line. Come on up for the rising. Come on up with your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. see Mary in the garden, in the garden of a thousand sighs. There's holy pictures of our children dancing in a sky filled with light. May I feel your arms around me, may I feel your blood mixed with mine. The dream of life comes to me like a catfish dancing on the end of my line. Sky of blackness and sorrow, dream of life. Sky of love, sky of tears, dream of life. Sky of glory and sadness, dream of life. Sky of mercy, sky of fear, sky of memory and shadow, dream of life. Your burning wind fills my heart tonight. Sky of longing and emptiness, sky of fullness, sky of blessed life. Come on up for the rise. Come on up, lay your head tonight. Come on up for the rise. Come on up for the rise tonight. La 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 la.
Here if you are a winner of the Mary Merchant Mystery Daily Giveaway.
We took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run in on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise if we didn't fire muskets till we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we see their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles, and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We fired our cannon till the barrel melted down, so we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind, and when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles, and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Probably the second most popular song about the War of 1812, I would think. Of course, you hear the most popular song about the War of 1812 pretty much any time you go to a sporting event. Of course, the National Anthem, Star-Spangled Banner, is all about the War of 1812. And you got to figure that that's the second one. Even though, you know, we do listen to quite often the 1812 overture, not about the American War of 1812. No, no. Entirely different. They had a whole lot of other stuff going on over there in Europe, and that's what that song is about. The next song I'm going to finish up with is kind of an individual song. It's a song about a young man who finds himself in a position he doesn't like to be in. And it is beautifully told. It's a story beautifully told that can apply to wartime in the early 1800s all the way to today, to probably as long as they have wars in the future. This is one of my favorite songs of all time, Neil Young.
Look out, Mama, there's a white boat coming up the river with a big red beacon and a flag and a man on the rail. I think you better call John. You don't look like they're here to deliver.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, folks, for tuning in today to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM. I do appreciate you listening each and every day to both this show as well as the WFIW Morning Show. Thank you so much. I'm going to finish this out with a little bit of period music. We've been talking about the 1940s. Let's finish it off a little bit of Count Basie, shall we? Thank you again so much for listening.
About the X's and O's of family entertainment. Every parent in Illinois knows the importance of being able to draw up an activity that'll get you out of the house for a couple of hours. But it needs